Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 89 for February 25th, 2007. The future is in your hand. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for TWiT number 89. It's somewhat delayed, but nevertheless just as tasty as it was the day it was produced, which was today. Joining me on the panel today, we're very happy to welcome a newbie, the wonderful Veronica Belmont. You remember her from Buzz Out Loud?
Hello.
And World of Warcraft. Can you say that for me? Yakta est besta.
Ale yakta est. It's the die is cast in Latin. I'm butchering the pronunciation.
It's what Caesar said when he crossed the Rubicon, as I remember.
Oh, well done. So that's our World of Warcraft guild that we have with a bunch of different podcasters. You're invited, of course.
Really? Could I be in it?
Of course.
It's a podcaster guild?
Yeah.
Well, Joey Ito won't let me in his guild, so I'm joining the die is cast.
They won't let you in, we know?
Yeah, well, are you in We Know?
I actually do have a tune on that server, but I'm not in We Know. I got through the preliminary, you know, trying to get in, and then I never went further than that.
Somebody even tell me what you're talking about?
Yeah, sorry.
You're just too old, John. It's World of Warcraft.
What?
Or it's that, you say?
And Joey Ito, who is a real mover and shaker, he's a venture capitalist, but very involved in Web 2.0 stuff and blogging, and he says it's the new golf. It's, you know, where people meet. To make deals.
Great. So not only can I be excluded from the golfing world, I am also excluded from the World of Warcraft world.
You know, I'll give you a grand tour. It's fine.
No, it's just...
Oh, no.
What's your highest level... what do you call them? Tune?
Introduce everyone else. We'll get to that later.
I'm sorry. I'm too busy talking to Veronica. Ladies and gentlemen, that voice, that cranky voice in the background, you know him, you love him, johncdvorak.org/blog.
I thought you were introducing Patrick.
You need no introduction, John. All right, Patrick Norton is also here from the fabulous DL.TV, where he labors with Robert Herron and others to create fine television programming for the internet twice a week.
Yes, tech content, baby.
We're going to talk about in a second.
Ooh.
And Merlin Mann of 43folders.com. And the new, what is it called? Merlabamalog? Vermalimerlog? What do you call it?
Ramalamadingdong?
I beg your pardon. Are you talking about my Tumblemalog?
Yeah, what's your it's Tumblemalog?
Tumblemalog. It's, yeah, it's the new Tumblemalog. You got one too, Leo.
I do. Rathole.tv.
I'm going to be good on this one. On the Tumblr, tumblr.com, right?
Tumblr's pretty cool. T-U-M-B-L-R in the true Web 2.0 tradition. Drop the last vowel.
Oh, man.
And it's a tumble log that you don't have. Well, you know what? I don't even want to get into explaining what a tumble log is. So
no, I want to know what a tumble log is.
I do too.
It's pretty cool, Merlin. You want to do the honors?
Merlin's efficient, man. He's all about efficiency.
Not even 2 minutes in, and it's already a rat hole. A tumble log is kind of a very lightweight web log. It's a way to post little kind of ephemeral content where it wouldn't be as much as like a full blog post.
So you're not ditching Twitter, are you?
No.
For the love of God, no.
It's kind of like
I love Twitter.
Twitter.
I'm so addicted to Twitter and I hate myself.
We got three Twitters here. You, me, and Veronica all are regular Twitters.
Mm-hmm. Rabid, I would say.
In fact, I tried to use Twitter when we were having technical difficulties to contact you.
Oh, I can't wait
actually,
to see those.
Actually, Veronica, it's a lot like Twitter. It's very kind of ephemeral. Here's what I'm up to stuff. But you can also throw in stuff like song lyrics and photos. And it's a little bit like a combination between like maybe like Delicious, Flickr, mm-hmm. and Twitter. But you it's a lot of fun.
You want to see a good example? Merlin.tumblr.com.
I don't know if it's a good
example.
You can see
example.
Me with a cartoon penguin. I believe that's my latest.
Who is that, by the way?
That's Bad Bats Maru. He's a character of the Sanrio Corporation.
Oh, well, look at that.
Yeah. So the idea, there are no comments. It's very stripped down, very basic.
Hey, wait. Give me that URL again because I didn't get it.
Merlin.
Right.
Merlin.tumblr
OBLR, okay.
Yeah, remember, no E, because that would
Oh, yeah, heaven forbid.
That would be Web 1.0.
Yeah.
You only get vowels after your second round.
Or go to rathole.tv, but mine is not as good an example.
It's like a blog to me.
You know what
I
want?
It's like a blog with comments off.
That's right. You've nailed it, John, I take it back.
No, it also has, it's all centered and the typeface is really huge, so it looks more like a blog with the comments off done by an insane person. You know the way they insane person center everything?
That's right. That's just insane.
Cool, John. Good.
That was pretty good. I don't know if I'm going to pick up on this
bad thing.
But we've been talking about doing one of these for MacBreak Weekly where people can contribute.
I want to do a Twit one, and I'm going to create, this kind of convinced me. I'm going to actually create a Twit one for anybody, you, John, Patrick, anybody who's wants to do that. What you do is you just throw crap up there. I mean, the idea is you don't think about it. You don't write it.
And that's different than a regular blog.
Do we really need more stuff like this? I mean, seriously, how many more mini blogs and blogs and Vox accounts and all that jazz can you have?
I thought the Moblog was the
venture capital.
Moblog was the worst.
I'm having feature fatigue.
The reason
Web 2.0 feature fatigue.
I think the thing is you don't need all of these. But the reason I think the person that a Tumblelog for is someone who doesn't want to have to sit around and take a photo of their cat or write some kind of a very long post about how they feel about politics.
You don't have to do that with a regular blog.
No, you don't.
You can do the same thing.
I agree with John.
Yeah, you could use WordPress. You could use anything to do a Tumblelog. I think it's for the guy or gal who already has a blog. But has other stuff that they don't want to kind of form into coherency, so they just put this.
Coherency is overrated.
Yeah, I see a lot of incoherent blogs.
I see what you're saying, Leo. Even though I realize that you're a joiner, so anything that comes up that's new, you're on
everything.
Let's just back off a second. What you're saying is that this allows you to have another blog with a different consistency.
Right.
So you like the one thing to be. So it
this
has
is
the
more
same
of a whipped, frothy, light consistency.
Or whatever. Yeah, or the centered, insane, you know, kind of insane.
It's the frappuccino.
How is centering, insane?
Go find one of those guys who think there's a lot of flying saucers or the government's doing weird stuff, and go find their website. They're usually not blogs, but they're just these really weird websites. And the mark of insanity is always the same. They use the biggest.
Well, no, the mark of insanity is when you align everything centered.
No, the mark of insanity is Comic Sans.
No,
immediately.
Ban Comic Sans.
Well, I guess. Well, anyway, the idea is everything is aligned centered. That's exactly right. It's usually like stuff like red type on a black background, the biggest type font that they can find, and it goes all the way down. It goes for miles down to China someplace before you can even have a page.
Or a tiled image as the background.
And there's a lot sometimes, and there's a lot of moving GIFs. The dog
and
running
blink
back
tags,
and forth.
Blink tags.
Blink tags. The dog's running back and forth.
We have to invent this website now.
I think it's my homepage, but I
was going to say it's like GeoCities.
The mailbox is opening and closing. There's always a couple dancing girls.
Mm-hmm.
Let's Maybe talk about urinal cakes, because I don't think it can go down from here. Now, I'm saving urinal cakes.
You brought it up with Tumblog.
I did. I just think it's kind of cool, but you don't have to participate.
It's cool. I think it's the best thing ever.
Okay, show of hands. How many of you have used Juiced?
Me.
Me.
I have.
Oh, we all have.
That was a verbal hand raising.
That's everybody.
I'm on the waiting list. I'm waitlisted, but I'm looking forward to
it. It's hard to get
an
invite.
On the waiting list?
I only got two invites.
I wrote a blog post. I think it stinks.
You don't like it?
No, go to Dvorak.org and type in Juiced.
Well, let me give you the news story, the big news.
But John, it's a shame you don't like it.
Oh, that's it. It's all over. Forget it.
What don't you like about it?
I think it's dumb in a lot of different ways. I think the content stinks.
Well, they just signed a deal with
Viacom.
They did.
Viacom is a big,
yeah,
big one.
Yeah, right. Viacom's going to put the worst stuff on there.
Well, wait a minute. This is what's going to be on. You tell me. Real World, Laguna Beach, Beavis and Butthead, and Flavor of Love.
Those will do really well.
I think also my Sweet 16. If I'm remembering.
Meanwhile, the Viacom boneheads take off the Comedy Central stuff and the Colbert stuff off of YouTube and all the other stuff, which was nothing for them but free publicity, since YouTube wasn't making any money off that stuff and it didn't cost them anything to post it. So this is like smart. So they go to Juiced because Juiced tells everybody the thing is piracy proof. Now that made me laugh out loud.
Well, let me give you the chronology here. A week ago, Viacom gives a takedown, DMCA takedown to YouTube for 100,000 videos from VH1, MTV, and Comedy Central, probably mostly from Comedy Central. They're all gone off of YouTube. There's a big announcement. You can't see this. Sorry, Viacom has pulled this down. The following week, they announce a deal with Juiced. Juiced is going to carry it. Now, Juiced was a creation of the folks who did Skype, who did Kazaa. Ironically, Kazaa, which was a piracy tool, they've decided they've reformed.
Yeah, a piracy tool that put spyware on your system. This is really something to be proud of.
They know what they're doing, though. You can't deny Skype is a great.
Know what they're doing with Skype. This is not Skype. They do one thing. That doesn't mean that everything they do is gold.
You know, I think it looks really good. I think it works really well. And I think it's just going to be some time before the content catches up with it.
This is the IPTV thing that you were talking about, John.
It's not IPTV. It doesn't go to the TV.
Well, John, first of all, Veronica's right. Second of all, it's in the early stages. They're just developing content relationships. Third of all, having had closer conversations with them than John or Leo, I think either of you have had, the quality of the content is consistently going to go up.
Yeah, we're just seeing
in
the
terms
beta.
Of the video delivery, because their minimum specs for submitting video is 6 Mbps at MPEG-2.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're basically setting it up to do high end distribution on.
And when
the content
it gets there, I'll be praising it nonstop. But I don't get why everybody's praising it now when it's not there yet. But oh, well, they're going to do this. They're going to do that.
I think we can see where they're going.
I hate to use the beta excuse.
Everybody in the Silicon Valley, they always have these huge, grandiose schemes. The thing go bogged down, it'll blow up. There's a million things that can go wrong.
Sure.
Yeah, these roadmaps are fantastic. Hey, show me the proof of the pudding. I don't fall in line lockstep just because Intel tells me they're going to do something.
And nobody's asking, John, nobody's asking you to.
You and everybody else, Patrick, are already singing praises for this thing.
Let me ask Patrick a little bit more about this.
Okay.
Is it, to get to that 6 Mbps, is it going to be peer to peer? I mean, that's their expertise.
No, they're not going to know. No. Hold on. Let me actually turn on more of my usual curmudgeonly nature, so John doesn't think I'm a complete stool. Because I've obviously terribly disappointed John. But
hates everything, and you know what? 90% of the time, he's absolutely right. It's a simple point of view. It's very
same thing about me. A lot of 90% of everything is crap, right? That's the rule of thumb in product evaluation, or at least the rule in life, one or the other.
I love everything and everybody.
Leo's
just full of love.
Lie I've heard today. But none of us love everyone and everybody.
All right, well, there's a couple.
Get to the point.
The point being is, first of all, they're not going to do content. They're not going to distribute video at 6 Mbps. That's what they're accepting submissions from their partners that are posting video. John's right. The interesting question is whether or not it's fairly easy to scale peer-to-peer content sharing, and it's fairly easy to scale. It's fairly easy to scale Skype by comparison to scaling Juiced, because you're talking about a 500 kbps download, larger in areas and in countries where everybody's got a higher typical bandwidth feed than they do in the United States. There's some interesting stuff going on. You're talking about 350 megabytes per hour at a time when the rumors are starting up hot and heavy that Comcast is starting to hammer people for 200 gigabytes a month of
yeah, how do you like that? Your unlimited bandwidth? Well, it's 200 gigabytes.
Mm. Let's not get sidetracked and start yelling about that yet. But
I have to say that if you're going to do IPTV, you don't worry right now that it's on the computer. Eventually, everything that's on your computer, eventually, when my Apple TV arrives, everything that's on your computer is going to be on your screen. I think that's a red herring, John. I do grant you a couple of things. First of all, it's completely stupid and boneheaded for Viacom to pull its stuff off YouTube. I mean, that's just a great promotional vehicle. I agree with you. The notion that somehow Juiced is piracy proof where YouTube is not is also boneheaded. But I don't see why they shouldn't do both.
With all due respect to YouTube and Viacom, it's not like Viacom is really suffering for promotion right now. They have some of the most essential basic channels on cable.
Yeah, but NBC they have huge word benefited of mouth from YouTube with Saturday Night Live. Why? What makes Viacom so much better than NBC? I mean, there's
because a lot of Viacom's programming has been a lot more relevant than. I mean, think about how many people here have been watching Saturday Night Live on and off for what three decades now, and how many times did you tune out for 3 or 4 years because it sucked, right. And then the cast got better again, and you sit there and think, like, wow, this...
Well, you made the point. It's a valuable promotional vehicle. You think Viacom doesn't need that promotion from time to time?
No, well, maybe they don't think they do.
I mean, it's one place where the networks don't have the same kind of authority that they used to, which is the right. ability to suddenly call upon a large audience. And what happens with something like a popular YouTube video, or as a result of the dig effect, is to suddenly see this explosion in activity around one piece of media. And I think you get that if you spend a lot of money in if you're somebody like Viacom. But I mean, for example, something like the Craig Ferguson remarks about Britney Spears, something like that just
Fantastic.
Put this 12:30 p.m. show on yeah. a lot of people's radar screens for the first time. So I mean, it's not perfect for everybody in all cases, but I agree that it's a little bit boneheaded not to see the value of that.
Use YouTube doesn't mean you can't do Juiced at the same time.
I hear rumors, and I'm not to be all Scott Bourne here, but I from what I hear, that basically the people who are more in the kind of the production end of stuff like The Daily Show, they're the ones who are putting this stuff up. And it's kind of this running joke that they're the guys who are putting this stuff up minutes after it's gone
they
up.
Get
and then the legal
value.
People, yeah. the legal people from a different part of the building run and take it down. So, you know, not to make the obvious point here, but saying things like Viacom, well, I mean, that's not that well, meaningful. There's a lot of cells inside of Viacom.
It's not just
things.
Viacom. The deal between Google and CBS
yeah.
has fallen apart as well.
But then they're also building a relationship with the BBC that might be happening soon. But I think YouTube is a lot at fault for the whole content companies taking their content off of YouTube for a lot of reasons. I think they have to work out their whole piracy.
Because they didn't police it?
Yeah, they're just not living up to their end of the bargain. And I know they have the technology to do so.
Well, Google's made big announcements about how they're going to do that from now on.
Well, they say they're going to do it, but they don't give a hard deadline when. He just right. says soon, you know, and soon's not good enough for Viacom and CBS.
I also wonder if part of the reason the CBS deal fell apart is because, you know, that YouTube was kind of making it, you have to have a distribution, like a licensing agreement with us before.
You have to have a partnership with us before we'll do
before
any kind of searching for copyrighted material. Yeah.
Well, they don't even have the right to say that. The DMCA gives you the takedown, right?
No, the DMCA does not apply here, Leo.
Why
because
not?
The DMCA is because for its copy protected material, and broadcast television is not copy protected.
No, they can't. They've been giving DMCA notices to
what is
YouTube.
Yeah, they call it the DMCA takedown notice. What does that mean?
Well, okay, first of all, the takedown notice, what's interesting about the takedown notice is especially because
The DMCA is a copyright act. It doesn't. I know you're thinking about the encryption issue, but it also protects copyrighted content.
It doesn't protect copyrighted content that is not copy protected.
Not so at
that's,
all.
That's not true.
It protects. Okay. It's a copyright act. It protects all copyrighted content.
It's you could do that to somebody. You could notice someone who puts up your book, right? I mean, it doesn't
Absolutely.
Have to be electronic.
No. You have the right to do a DMCA takedown, and frankly, it's I don't understand how Google can say, well, if you're not a partner, we're not going to pay attention. I'm sorry.
Well, if you're not a partner, they're not going to give you access to their tools.
Well, they reneged on that whole partnership thing, and they're going to open it up to everyone.
They just
don't say when.
Right. All right. Well, what do you like about Juiced? And then we're going to wrap this up.
I think Google should just cut these guys off since they're in a legal tangle with them. You know, I think it just cut them off from all
I
searches.
I agree. I think they should just say, hey,
no, I'll search it. You search for anything on Google. There's not anything that relates to CBS or Viacom because of their.
Oh, that's interesting. There's a way to fight
that. Cut them off. See how they like that one.
Predatory search.
Well, my favorite part of the whole thing was how Viacom asked them to take down videos that weren't even copyrighted material. That
right,
were from
there was a
people
whole bunch
that uploaded stuff that had nothing to do with their television.
Did you guys cover that, Veronica? Because I heard that. I mean, like Jonathan Colton mentioned one of his videos that was totally Creative Commons got taken down.
Well,
that happened to a lot of people.
It doesn't hurt. Why not? You know.
Yeah, it happened to. We actually got an email from one guy that it happened to, and
what was the
people
context?
Were then saying that he should go and sue them for doing stuff with his intellectual property.
Sue them for what?
Doing keyword search. You gotta wonder if they were just doing like some kind of keyword search.
They pulled down a video that was not theirs, that was someone else's original content.
It's not a right to be on YouTube. You don't have a right to be
right.
there. They can pull you down any reason, even though it's a bad reason.
All rights aside, though, I mean, that's not cool. I mean, why would you want to like log into YouTube one day and have all your personal videos being taken down because you came up on some search from Viacom?
I wouldn't want it. No, I mean, it's nothing I'd be glad to see, but it's going to happen, and it becomes like a fiasco, and it'll eventually get resolved.
I think we can tie this up with a bow and say what we're seeing here is the dinosaurs of media, the networks, who first they said, well, we're going to do a YouTube competitor, but they can't. They hate each other so much they can't figure out how to do that. They're pulling themselves out of YouTube. These dinosaurs, they don't get it. They're. It's just another way that they're out. I think Juiced. If there's any rap against it, it's playing the game the dinosaur way, and it may not really be the best way to do it. Things like Democracy Player may be a better form of IPTV.
If it would just consistently work and not crash.
It just has to work.
There's a lot of junk out there.
If that would be the rap I'd have against Juiced, it's the old broadcast model.
I think it's pretty promising as a IPTV.
So what do you like about it? It's the UI that you like.
Well, I love the UI, and the quality is just incredible. See, it's just really good looking.
I didn't see the great quality.
You didn't think so? It looks great on my T42. Which is my work laptop.
That's a small laptop and a small screen. You're not
put it on a big screen.
On a 30-inch screen, it looks like what you'd expect. It, you know, worse than VHS quality.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Google, they made a pretty big play for Microsoft's business by announcing their new enterprise offices. Should Microsoft be shaken in their boots, John C. Dvorak?
Well, of course not. I mean, this is just their old stuff that they package and
but it's the enterprise
charge
edition.
Money for it. It's nothing anything. This is not the greatest office suite in the world, and you can go get an office suite for free from any number of open source.
Microsoft has anything to worry about, it's that OfficeLive.com, that other people who are suing them for the Office Live name.
Oh, really? I didn't know they were getting sued
about
for
that?
The name.
Oh, yeah.
That's not so good.
Someone already has the patent on that name.
Oopsie.
Office Live,
that's
and they're
right.
contesting
you know,
it.
They could take the $1.5 billion they're giving to Alcatel and to
that's a big story.
They're never going to give them any 10 cents. I mean, that whole suit is the worst.
Right. Let's talk about that in a second.
Sorry, go back to Google.
Google
sorry.
Apps. A lot of big companies are already signing up saying we like the we want to use Google Mail. We don't need a heavy-duty word processor or spreadsheet. This works for us. But you don't think it's a threat at all to Microsoft? These people wouldn't be using Office?
I don't see where the threat is. I mean, the people who use... I mean, it's a different market, it seems to me. These are just... tight wads, and I don't think anybody who does it. By the way, I don't like, except for Google Mail is a good product, and I use the calendar too. Which
and the
I think
spreadsheet's
is
not bad. I got to tell you, spreadsheet's
it works.
Good.
It does the job. But I mean, why would I be paying $50 a month when I just tell people to get individual account or a year, get individual accounts, you know, personal accounts, and use them.
Well, the support and storage is good.
Yeah, you get 10 gigs of storage per $50 user.
24/7 phone support.
I don't know. I think it's probably going to do well, but I don't think it's going to affect Microsoft's bottom line yet.
Well, what they really need is a good presentation app.
They don't have anything like PowerPoint. And you know what? If you're right. People need to buy Office if just for PowerPoint.
I don't see Excel going away anytime soon. No, I mean, you can replace a word processor, but Excel's not going to go away.
Even I can't sustain this one. Never mind. Forget I said anything.
You know, the big corporations that use Word or a publishing house or anybody else, I mean, one of the things they use it for is the feature where you can kind of track all the changes in a very elaborate way, which there's nothing out there like that. I mean, you just have to use Word and you have to use a new version of it or a fairly new version for the feature to work correctly. And it's an important feature. And unless somebody has that available, I don't see that having any impact.
I've been trying to get into using Google Docs and spreadsheets myself, and I just always keep going back to Microsoft Office, especially for the docs. Like, it just doesn't do enough for me. Maybe I'm not getting into it enough. I don't know.
No, it's frustrating. And because it's a web experience, it's a little laggy and
sluggish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody needs to explain this to me. Maybe Patrick can do this. I thought that Fraunhofer owned the patents for MP3, but for some reason, a U.S. court is ordering Microsoft to pay Alcatel, the French telecom, $1.5 billion because they violated their patents on MP3.
Hey, let Patrick fill in the blanks, and let me give you a quick rundown of this, which is the situation, that if you really boil it down, is the following. Fraunhofer bought Lucent. Lucent was in the consortium with Fraunhofer and all their MP3 patents. You can't do these kinds of licenses unless you have a consortium, and Fraunhofer owns MP3, but they're on behalf of a whole bunch of licensees. So Alcatel buys Lucent, and then they find a rogue patent that's not in the portfolio, and they say, hey, look at this. And instead of putting it in the portfolio like they should if they were good little boys, they decide to start suing everybody over it, saying, well, you know, we didn't throw it in because we didn't know it was there or whatever. And they make this crazy story up, and the idiots in the court system, which don't know how to deal with patents at all, throw the book at Microsoft for the biggest judgment in history. Give me a break. This isn't going to get very far. Patrick?
Not really going to argue with you.
Well, That was good.
I want to have an interesting moment for anybody who enjoys watching video online. Spent some time looking around the sort of MPEG LA group, MPEGLA.com, who basically administers, is the consortium that administers all of the rights for MPEG 2 and MPEG 4. And a few other things. And essentially, you know, they reserve the right to charge anybody who wants to encode in those formats. And if you make money off of those formats in any kind of volume, they want their percentage because of the way the licenses are.
And isn't there a
time? That's how it's doing with MP3 too, but they were paying the licensing already.
I guess what I'm saying is as ridiculous as this sounds. In a couple years, you know, if the MPEG LA renegotiates their agreement on MPEG 4 and MPEG 2, they could actually try to start collecting money off of every free download on the web. You know what I mean? It's that thin line between. A friend of mine's a lawyer, and is I kind of looked at him one day. I'm like, so you're basically telling me the law is about semantic arguments and has nothing to do with. You know, common sense or anything that actually makes
what the word is it means.
Yeah, well,
actually, if this $1.5 billion award looks like a lot, it could be dwarfed by the AT&T case, which is being argued in front of the Supreme Court. AT&T is also suing Microsoft over sound recognition and technology in Windows. And in fact, there are some say that a victory for AT&T could hold all U.S.-based technology defendants internationally liable in future patent suits, vastly inflating any damages and awards. This Fraunhofer thing could be a nothing compared to the AT&T suit.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, they're arguing it right now in the.
The other thing is, by the way, Fraunhofer, or not the Fraunhofer, but Lucent Alcatel, that's only one of, I think, five or six total suits that are in the pipeline on this one issue, and that this doesn't include the Xbox suit that these guys hit Microsoft with over some tweak, which is all I can call it.
Yeah,
a ridiculous little suit. And so then Microsoft last Friday filed four suits against Alcatel-Lucent for telephone connectivity to the internet or something, you know, some telephony thing, which really would go right after the core business of those guys.
It's kind of like nuclear war. It's like mutually assured destruction. Well, at least Bill Gates has time to monitor his 10-year-old daughter's computer usage.
Vista Pinata.
That's her favorite game. He says she could spend 2 or 3 hours a day on this Viva Pinata because it's kind of engaging and fun.
Someone was making a Vista Pinata joke earlier today also.
You hit it and it breaks?
I don't know.
Was this on Buzz Out Loud? Or?
No, we didn't talk about it. I saw it somewhere else earlier today.
Vista Pinata.
That game is awesome.
You play Viva Pinata? Instead of
candy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of sick, isn't it?
I haven't played it.
Like you break these pinatas, and then all the other pinatas come over and eat the insides of their friend that they used to hang out with.
Ew.
It's kind of sad.
It's cannibalistic pinatas.
Yeah,
I'm kind of more intrigued by that voice you did, Leo. I mean, that doesn't sound anything like Bill Gates. Just kind of a
that was the Wallace
Shawn voice.
It's inconceivable. Bill Gates said she became very avid and discovered a lot of computer games, including one that runs on the Xbox 360 called Viva Pinata, where you take care of your garden. Is there a garden in Viva Pinata?
Yes, you have a garden. Would you like me to explain Viva Pinata to you?
No.
Oh, I heard about this. Shlomo was talking about this. This sounds really fun.
Oh, Shlomo plays it too?
Yeah, you putter around in a garden.
I got to send pinatas to Shlomo then.
You can send pinatas?
Yeah, you can share pinatas with people. So you breed them. You have a garden. I'm going to tell you anyway.
Is this an Xbox game or
what?
Xbox. I guess I need to get it.
It's highly addictive.
Because I know I'm never playing you in Gears of War because you're just going to throw a grenade.
It's one of those things that, It's geared towards children. It's geared towards children, but it's got that kind of sim-like aspect that's very attractive to people. You know,
you can design your own pinatas and send them to people. It's really fun.
Now you sound like Ed Wynn.
I'm just
better than Mr. Ed.
Well, anyway, Bill says his daughter, who's now 10, is the oldest kid. He's actually limiting her screen time.
Very restrictive.
Yeah, an hour. Tell me what you think. 45 minutes a day of total screen time for games, an hour a day on weekends, plus if you need to do homework, you could add that to the total.
Hour a day on weekends?
Uh-huh.
Oh, what is he, a Nazi?
Does that include rebooting?
Oh my God.
He's Bill freaking Gates, and he's letting his kid be on the computer for an hour.
Bill Gates is not a big gamer. Bill Gates is a, you know, he's
That's the best line of all. Does that include reboot?
It's a great line. I'm stealing it.
That Daddy, doesn't count, dear.
Daddy, does it count when I have to reboot Vista a few times to install
constantly?
It? Yeah. Does that count?
No.
We'll play this relaxing blue screen game.
Watch the next version. The first service pack of Vista will have a special timer that subtracts reboot times. It'll be very easy for parents.
Do you guys do you set limits like that, Leo?
Oh,
you or have you in the past?
You bet.
Really?
And we do, and it's interesting he uses the word screen time because it really is, it's not, nowadays with kids, it's not just the computer, it's TV, it's, my son will go upstairs and watch The Office on his video iPod, so it has to be all screens, you know.
Man.
You become like a lawyer when you're a father.
Oh, believe me. It's not that the father's the lawyer, it's that the kids are the lawyers.
Like he finds a
I got a loophole here for you.
Hey, yeah. I've always let the kids self-regulate, and you know what? They get sick of it.
Yeah, I did that. I had no kind of regulation.
And once they
on
get sick of it, then they're totally self-regulated. You don't have to, because if you start saying, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, and they're going to want to do it. But if you just say, go do it until you're bored stiff, they get, and guess what? They get bored stiff.
Do you guys include phones?
My kids do spend more time with no limitations like that. They spend more time reading than they ever have before.
I think you're probably right. It's too late for us, though. We've gone down that road.
Because if you hold it back from them, they're just going to want to do it more.
Yeah. So, it's Veronica, true. Your folks never said to you there's limits on any of this stuff?
No, not really. I mean, there were a couple shows I couldn't watch, but in terms of playing video games or watching TV.
You found
TV,
what John's saying, that after a while you just kind of got tired of
it? Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I should do an experiment.
I have a very
Henry.
Short attention span.
I was going to say, there's no obsessive compulsive disorder type people in the room.
So I should do an experiment with Henry and just say, okay, Henry, do whatever you want. Now, wait a minute. Now, does that mean he can do anything he wants, or there are some limits?
Well, I mean, come on. Yeah, like he's not going to go kill cats or anything.
Out of fudge.
I bought Dead Rising for him, right? And my wife's furious at me. She says, he's killing zombies in the mall with a tire iron.
That is a great game. I watched my son play it. It's a terrific
game. It's a really good game.
It's entertaining for the whole family to watch somebody who knows how to play that game play it. But you know what? He gets sick of it, too. He got tired. He killed enough zombies. That was the end of it.
They keep coming. They don't move fast, but they keep coming.
There's many, many of them.
There's a lot of them. No, I enjoy that game, actually. Yeah, the gameplay in that's quite surprisingly good.
Yeah, it's a good game.
It's no Viva Pinata.
Oh, no.
And it teaches them how to be. And the great thing about it, it's educational because it's about a journalist. It teaches them how to do journalism.
Yeah, I don't get that part. You're taking pictures, and you get points for taking good pictures. That's
I mean,
bizarre.
It's zombies. It's not like it's real people or anything. I mean, that's
well,
never going to happen.
Zombies are eating real people.
Oh, I've always thought killing zombies was a good thing, you know?
Yeah,
much
is.
Better than running over little old ladies and stealing purses.
Every child
purses.
Needs good zombie killing skills before they get into,
okay,
you know,
I'll give you an example.
Elementary school.
You can get a shower head, right? I don't know where. It's just lying around the mall. And the goal is you stick the shower, you jam the shower head into the zombie's head, and blood gushes out of the shower head.
That's just good, clean fun.
Did you see that part, John?
That was a good one.
No, I didn't see that, but I wish I did.
That's when my wife decides to walk in the room.
Did you see what the toothpaste for dinner guy had to say about Second Life? Did you see his post on that?
No. First of all, who is the toothpaste for dinner guy?
Oh, he's this cartoonist. If you go to toothpastefordinner.com, he does wonderful cartoons. But he writes,
I saw your Twitter on that.
Yesterday, I downloaded something called Second Life. It's like Grand Theft Auto, Andreas, except you can't shoot anyone. You can't hit people. You just walk around.
I did read that.
There's no prostitutes. Everything costs money. You can't rob anyone to get money.
And they kept asking, how do you kill people? Or how do you hit people?
Can't kill them. But there are prostitutes, though. Did you see the... I'm not going to go too deeply into this, but the post about sex shopping in Second Life? I was kind of amazed what you could buy.
I absolutely loathe
What can you buy, Leo?
Well, tell us, Leo. You seem to have gotten into it.
No, I was reading a post. I actually didn't.
A friend told me.
A friend told me.
This guy I know, he was buying some,
You can buy
stuff.
Pretty appalling stuff.
So what did it say in the post,
I
Leo?
I can't say it on the show because we'll lose our claim tag.
Well, send us a
Okay, so
link.
He's standing there. First of all, he's looking at, you can buy body parts in various stages.
On their own? Do you put them up
stages?
Pick them in a bag? You just
let us think of what body parts
body
are
parts
in the context
stages.
Of
yeah, I think it's stages.
And you apply it to your body. In other words, body parts in Second Life are just like clothing.
They're skins.
They're skins.
Basically.
So you apply it to yourself.
Literally and?
It becomes a gesture, so you can make gestures.
Why are you so surprised at this? I mean, chat rooms, online games, everything.
I'm not surprised at it.
I am shocked.
Shocked. All right, here's an interesting story, and I'd love to get your take on this. A 19-year-old kid in Langley, British Columbia. Doesn't have a lot to do, doesn't have a lot of friends. He sits in his basement, basically, 16 hours a day, monitoring other people. See, it seems this kid has made a Trojan horse, which he put on the news groups for child pornography.
And Sliver with a purpose.
And people, exactly like Sliver, and people download this thing. Now, they're because it's on a child pornography news group, apparently, one presumes they're all child pornographers. He then, for 3 years, has been watching these people, their email, reading their email, tracking their every step online.
My God.
This was his life. He had no friends in school. He skipped the prom. He just stayed home and doing this. But it gets more interesting.
Kind of a meta pornography.
Yeah, that's
addict.
Weird.
He got a United States judge arrested and convicted of child pornography.
Oh, my God.
Despite ignoring
Where's
police.
This story? I don't see it on the list.
Yeah, I don't either.
Secret life of a
cyber. You're making that up.
Secret life of a cyber hero. I got on this story because I was reading about this judge getting convicted of child porn, and then they said it was very interesting how he got caught. The kid ignored police threats of arrest because it's vigilante. Instead, pressed ahead in the case of Orange County Superior Court Judge Ronald Klein. After reading the judge's electronic diary, he concluded it showed an apparent plot to sexually exploit young boys at a private health club.
Wow.
He turned him in. The judge was arrested and convicted, and U.S. detectives credit the kid alone for breaking the case.
So he used his creepy powers for good.
Well, did he? Is this okay?
Well, if he'd been doing this the whole time, like secretly, like been going around and tipping off the police whenever he found some information that something like that was going to happen, then that might be kind of good in a Boondock Saints kind of way. But I don't really know.
This vigilante stuff is so hot right now. There's the one show where they do nothing but go out and like find hicks trying to have sex with kids. It's like a whole show.
Yeah, that's pretty pathetic.
They find that
catch a predator. And you know the weird thing about it, I think there's something really sick about that because the guys they catch are the dumbest guys, and you feel so like what this guy is. He isn't going to get a date with anybody. He's cross-eyed. He believed whoever it was that was on the thing. And you look at the guy and you go, my God, is this a public service? There's probably some really bad guys out there. Go catch them.
It's pretty close
this, to me, this kid, it seems like it. But this kid seems to me to be, I don't see how he's that much different than a private detective. They're doing crap like this all the time.
But the difference, well, it's vigilante, though.
What's the difference?
Because a private detective is a police officer.
I guess you really need to know his motives.
This.
Like, why did he start doing it in the first place?
See, that's why, if I were the judge, I would totally go, well, you see, I was working to entrap this guy who's a vigilante. That's why I had to go out there and put my neck on the line with, doing this stuff.
But why would a judge do that?
The judge is now under house arrest.
That's a good lie.
I think after 3 years of documentation, the judge is going to have a long, long way to go to prove that one.
I've made this my life's work to track down this guy.
The judge's defense attorney plans a defense that says because the electronic diary, which is the cornerstone of the case, was stolen, the federal grand jury charges should be dropped.
That might be true.
It was stolen by a hacker illegally.
It's not like he had a warrant or anything to go into his private data.
The kid says he stopped. His name, I'll give out his name. Well, maybe I won't. He's a minor.
It's going to be on my blog.
All right.
If it's in the media already, it's
already
kind of
in
free
the media.
Game.
The kid, I'm not going to give out his name, but the kid says, I've stopped because my parents asked me to stop. They liked what I was doing, but they don't want me to do anything illegal. Sometimes he regrets his online life. I'm reading this. This is the story by Gary Dimmick. At crime-research.org. Sometimes he regrets his online life. My whole life has been online. I've literally spent half my life on the internet. I'm antisocial in real life. I've been on the computer too much to keep friends. I'm trying to get out more. And don't tell me about meeting girls. Boy, oh boy.
What
does that mean?
That sounds kind of sad.
I know where that's coming. That's the classic, like, you should go out and chase girls instead of spending all that much time on the computer. That's like classic.
It just kind of worries me that he spent like so many years of his life on basically pornography, child pornography news groups.
Well, yeah, interesting. I won't give his real name. His code name is Omnipotent. And I guess in some ways,
This is probably a better use for a kid's time than some otherwise.
Than Viva Pinata.
We do not encourage this.
No, I'm not saying that.
Vigilante justice. But, I mean, why don't we just go out and lynch child pornographers?
There are introverted kids out there, and a lot of them do not do positive things like this, and most of them get over it eventually. It's nothing that you could be
freaked
about.
Well, I mean, look, you've got like three or four separate things here. You've got the child pornography angle. You've got the kids sitting out and, you know, essentially cracking into all these people's systems to monitor them. And then you've got the fact that it's, you know, the internet can be a wonderful place for people who are socially awkward to bury themselves. Much like the library used to be when I was in high school.
Bring back the library.
Right.
Well, you know, it's probably, you know, this guy's obviously, you know, stumbled into some incredibly bizarre stuff, but it's not like you can't get your head bent out of shape in a library.
Well, he's a hacker, but he's a hacker for good. Is there such a thing?
Yeah.
White hat. I
mean, as long as there's white hat hackers who will tell you what your vulnerabilities are, right?
You know. Well, the other question
Adrian Lam almost went to jail for that kind of white hat hacking.
You know, it's a term of convenience, I think, more than anything else.
You know, it's not going to matter because, you know, in 2036, an asteroid's going to hit the Earth at 28,000 miles an hour, and it's all over for us.
Great. Hey, hopeful.
By the way, I wonder if this guy's going to commercialize it. He said, according to this article, he wrote the Trojan Horse program.
Right.
I wonder if he's going to commercialize it. I mean, Trojan Horse.
Sell the Dateline. They get a new show out of it. They could finally move on to the internet.
You know, one of the stings occurred here in my little town in Petaluma. They rented a house in the neighborhood, and they had Petaluma police detectives doing this. I don't know why in my little town they've decided that they've got to stop all child molesters. But anyway,
there's child molesters everywhere, and it's often much more easy to operate undetected locally in small towns than it is in large cities.
So they set up the house, they invited the people over, they had Dateline cameras, and, you know, a bus with handcuffs. And
there was one guy,
a bunch of people.
Wasn't there one guy that was like, what'd I do? Like, completely.
Should have blogged it, Leo.
It was like, this is fine. I don't understand what the problem is here.
I just caught that show once where they caught they brought a guy and he says, didn't we see you before? Yeah, you got me like a month ago.
Oh, man. Mm.
And he was the same, another one of those kind of dumb guys with his, you know.
But, you know, maybe we should get these guys off the street. Let's be honest.
Well, they didn't get him off the street. That's the irony.
Yeah, if he's back in a month.
So scientists
suckered again.
Scientists estimate a 1 in 45,000 chance that this asteroid is going to hit the Earth.
We are so screwed.
Are you worried?
Well, didn't they come up with that new system where they're going to have the ship that flies over it and uses the ship's gravity to pull it off course?
No. It's when they send up the rogue oil driller.
Yeah, right. So it can blow up into a million pieces.
Bruce Willis when we need him? Rusty Schweikert, a former astronaut, but I just like saying his name. Rusty Schweikert. Said, it's not just this asteroid. Every country is at risk, and we need a set of general principles to deal with the issue. They actually are proposing a 150 million pound space mission to be launched to deflect the asteroid.
Can I say something here that seems to be overlooked by all the journalists or science writers? They know where this asteroid is. They know what its course is. They can do the math. They pretty much know that the Earth, you know, spins around the sun at a certain pattern and is a certain point on a certain day of the year. Why don't they just do the calculation? Why do we have odds? Is this like Las Vegas? Is now?
You know, I've wondered the same thing.
That's just what the dinosaurs said. And look where they are now.
Are they taking bets?
Their equation was slightly off. They didn't quite. Yeah,
off.
Just a little off.
According to this article, astronomers warn that between now and 2079, Veronica, you're the only one who'll still be alive at that time, so you might want to listen particularly, there will be at least 38 potentially hazardous encounters with rogue asteroids.
Oh, now we have something to do with all those ICBMs.
Good idea.
Did you guys feel the earthquake a while back, a couple minutes ago?
Did the earth move for you?
Oh, yeah, big time here.
Huh. Where are you?
Downtown San Francisco.
Oh, I think I'm within 2 miles of it.
It was in Berkeley.
I'm in Berkeley. I felt it. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. I always get excited because I'm not from around
here. You're not from
here. You get a whopper.
If you had a tumble log, you could put that on your tumble log. You could say, I just felt an earthquake.
Well, I Twittered it.
I could.
She Twittered it, see?
Where are you going to put that, John? You got no place to put that.
We're not from around
here.
I put it on the podcast. Where are you from, Veronica?
I am originally from Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. They don't have earthquakes there.
Actually,
they haven't lately.
They do.
Not lately.
No, not so much.
Oh, you're going to love when they get a big 5 or 6.
I don't know.
A 3.4 where you were, I can't imagine even feeling it over there.
Well, our building is on like rollers, so whenever there's an earthquake, it actually does shift pretty significantly.
She's in a safe building.
It's a bad feeling.
No, it does not feel good. But yeah, it was kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah, I grew up on the East Coast, too. Like, you know, hurricanes, fine, whatever. You know, tornadoes in the Midwest, I've dealt with them. But the whole, you know, when a building the size of a city block does this sort of
it's
10
terrifying.
Millimeter shift, right, in quivers, that's just not in my idea of
what
how...
a bunch of East Coast weenies.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't know about
wanna
that.
Go, you know, we go take a, you know, take a boat out when the hurricanes are coming in.
Or why don't you come over when it's like a negative 20 wind chill and 5 feet of snow? You'll love it.
So it looks like, John, you were
these
right.
Things...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We'll have a little more earthquake talk, then I'm going to move on.
You couldn't have felt it up there.
I didn't feel a thing. But I don't feel anything. Do Midwesterners have tornado talk on their podcasts?
I don't know.
That's a good name for a podcast,
it's
Tornado Talk.
Time for Tornado Talk. Thing. We're sitting in the basement right now, waiting for the big one to come through.
So you were right, John, about SED. Canon now has lost that lawsuit against Nano Proprietary, which means, you know, that pretty much SED is dead.
It's not dead.
It's just dead.
It's just completely being run by Canon now.
It's
instead of the Canon Toshiba partnership.
Yeah, well, Canon tried to buy the partnership out, but the judge said, don't think that fools us. This has been going on for a few years, and this just is a way to avoid the issue, and that's not going to count. So we shall see what happens. But damages need to be determined, and Canon would have to negotiate a new agreement.
Damages? They never even sold one.
I know. That's actually the funny part, is like the technology was already having issues.
Yeah, what happened to the next big thing? Oh, well.
Somebody builds a prototype and there's damages? Give me a break. This is, again, this whole patented thing. It's just completely
Here's the deal. They paid a license fee to Nano Proprietary of $15 million. They breached the license deal. I mean, it's pure contract
law. What's the breach?
Because they weren't supposed to share the information with another company. They did a joint venture with Toshiba. That's when the lawsuit began. They said, you know, last year, never mind. Toshiba's not involved anymore. We bought out their half. And the judge said, hey, that doesn't fool anybody. And he furthermore said, and the damages aren't going to be the $15 million that you paid the license fee, because frankly, that wouldn't be a disincentive. So there were some serious damages.
It's also kind of funny, though, that they waited this long. They waited basically till it looked like the technology was going to fall behind fall behind and never become a major player, because the agreement with Toshiba goes back to, like, I think Nano Proprietary did the agreement in 99, and Toshiba started in how long ago with Canon on this?
I mean, it's 2001, I think, something like that.
Yeah, so it's not like, you know, I think Nano Proprietary realized they weren't going to make a lot of money off of SED in the long run.
Yeah. So
an interesting angle I never thought of. That's probably true.
Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, you know, leveraging patents and lawsuits is becoming a completely acceptable way to, you know, make money these days. You know, even if, you know, it's unfortunately it seems to be crushing some companies, but that are doing it indiscriminately.
Well,
we've
had a number of patent lawsuits in the show alone. Another list for you, John. I know how much you love these lists put together by magazines that, you know, they're sitting around in a room. Business 2.0.
Slowly
magazine.
I turn.
Yeah, he did. I love to drive him crazy with these. 25 startups to watch.
Oh, no.
Business 2.0 magazine. Number 9 on the list, which I think is a very prestigious number, Revision 3. Our friend Kevin Rose's company that produces Dignation and a number of other TV shows.
I hate how these websites have this laid out. I have to click each one to go to the next one.
I know. It's like the slideshow.
So
it's a pain.
Oh, Meebo. I like Meebo.
Meebo's good. Juiced is on the list.
Wikia,
which is, of course, the for-profit version of Wikipedia that Jimmy Wales started.
Dabble. I still don't understand what Dabble does.
It's got a really cool logo.
Yeah, it does.
Which looks like the loser symbol that people do to their forehead, but okay.
So where is this on the list here? That I don't see it.
Oh, man, you just got to read the list, dude. It's
good
all
people
there.
At
you don't do things in order anymore. You just bounce around.
Oh, I never did
it. Oh, here
order.
It is, 25 startups to watch. The only reason I'm asking is because I can probably complain about
it. Yeah, let's start with number... I'll just read them off. Number 1, StumbleUpon. I like that.
I liked that 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's
kind of not something
StumbleUpon vexes me.
Why do that vex you?
Ooh, vexes. I like that word.
I enjoy the fact that their visitors like things on my site, but it vexes me that I have to be using Firefox to see what the hell it is that they're saying.
I don't not like them anymore. I just kind of stopped using
it. Is it like Alexa where it's like an add-on to your browser you don't really care about?
And in some ways, it seems pretty cool. I haven't spent a lot of time on it because I'm a Safari user, and this requires that you have, I don't think it works.
It's a Firefox extension, right?
Yeah, and so if you can't really see what the conversation is at all, to my understanding, unless you're logged in. But anyway, no, but it seems to be really popular, and it has the community aspect to it. I would say even more so than something like Dig. I mean, you've got icons with faces, and that you really, I think, do get more of a sense of like following your friends.
I'm not, you know, I'm looking at this, and the giveaway here on this article is, you know, this again, you know, I'll say it to the public out there listening to this podcast. I've been at these meetings. Magazines look for some top 10, top 20 lists to do. They sit around over donuts and dream this stuff up just to annoy readers like me. Anyway,
it works.
And threw out any company that had a serif in its logo, from what I can tell.
Tell us.
All these roundy
faces. Well, that's because they're from 2001.
It's old stuff. But anyway, it says at the bottom of this article, tell us what you think about StumbleUpon's model. Is it the next MySpace?
No.
MySpace?
It's not even close.
What's the business?
I don't even know what the business model is.
You got to ask on almost every one of these, what's the business model? I mean, now here's one that's pretty successful. San Francisco company I had never heard of until it made it to number one in the Google Zeitgeist as the most searched for term in 2006. It's Bebo.
Yeah, Bebo.
Which number is that?
Number three, Bebo.
Oh. I'm not going to give number two, Slide.
You want to talk about Slide?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. What is it?
They make online slideshows that you can embed.
Oh, right. There's a couple of those out there now.
Yeah. Well, there's one less. You know, you heard what happened with Film Loop.
No.
Oh, what a story that is. Their venture capital company basically sold them off to another company in their portfolio.
That's happened before. Excited and At Home did it. Crazy deal like that years ago.
You know, there's a good article. Michael Arrington really goes off on them on TechCrunch. If you should read about it, because I have to say it's one of those. It's a good cautionary tale for anybody who's thinking of taking venture funding. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So Film Loop's gone. Slide's still around. I don't know. Advertising.
Well, back to Bebo.
Bebo.
Now, they got a picture of the two people there on the Bebo thing, and the girl's got it like a 6 o'clock shadow, the short
one. Oh, come on.
Man.
John. She doesn't. That's a guy. Wait, you're talking about the dude on the left?
It's a JPEG artifact.
Oh, that's the guy. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The woman's on the right.
Get off my lawn, you kids.
Oh, my gosh.
And what kind of name is Zoshi? All right.
Who cares?
No, I'm just
saying. Right.
It's a lovely name.
It's a
week in ad hominem.
Exactly. There you go.
Else is there to do on this network?
That's all we do is ad hominem.
So anyway, Molly Wood is saying that Bebo is going to be the next big thing. That's one of her predictions
like MySpace,
for this year.
30 million members. Private pages.
Now.
It is the next. Now this legitimately is the next MySpace, and by the way, they are profitable right now.
Oh, not bad.
One thing that's funny to watch about this, I remember the very first one of these that I remember was Friendster. And I got introduced to it. I think at the time it was Heather Champ invited me. And all of a sudden, everybody was on Friendster. And it was Friendster. And then, like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it was
the
Orkut.
Great Exodus.
Why are you still on Friendster? You got to get on. I was 2002, 2003, something like that.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, no, you got to get on Orkut. You got to get on the Orkut. And it just seems like people, and now, so I was talking to my wife's nephew. He's like, he's whatever, 16. Yeah, you into the MySpace? And he's like,
oh, no, they're all leaving. My daughter goes to MySpace again.
Facebook.
So, I mean, I guess my question to you guys, is this something where people are just, and, you know, then you get into the whole phenomenon of, like, people changing their screen names all the time on all these things. Is this something that people are just constantly moving from one to the other?
Before I comment on that, I will say, having already insulted the owners, that this is actually pretty slick.
Oh, thank you, John. Welcome to the social.
You should send them a writer, John.
No, it is a very interesting phenomenon how people jump from one social network to another, and all their friends
happens,
do at the same time too. I don't know, because I did the same thing. I was on.
It's not like the features are that different. You paste in some JavaScript crap to make your page look goofy.
You know what? It's always happened, but it's now doing it online. What shoes do you wear? What clothes do you wear? What's the hip, you know, pause?
It's whatever trendy.
Yeah,
whatever's trendy at the moment.
And the whole idea of social, and this is something very, another good lesson for people who create these social networks, there's no point in being there if everybody else is in there. And it's very, I think it's very fickle.
So it is totally fickle, and I think it's an issue with it that has to be addressed. But what I find weird is that you go to the next startup from Bebo, and you get to Meebo.
Meebo is awesome. Meebo is a really great startup.
Meebo,
Meebo,
Kibo.
John, we need to do a startup. We're going to center everything. We're going to take all the vowels out.
We'll
now
call
you're
it,
talking.
We'll
no,
call
Meebo's actually really handy. Sans. I've used Meebo quite a bit, actually.
It's a chat IM client you put on your website.
It's an Ajax chat platform. And so basically you can log into any one of your IM names like AIM or Yahoo or ICQ, anything like that. And it's all in Ajax in your web browser. And you can move all the windows around wherever you want to. And you can use it in places that would normally ban any kind of chat client. So if you're at a library or if you're at school, you can probably use Meebo. You can get around the ports and that kind of thing.
That's really interesting because, I mean, like, for example, my wife can't look at stuff like YouTube at work. Like, Flash is just shut off across her entire location. It's interesting to think about a company that might make its whole operation based on routing around things like blocking.
Do you use Meebo on your site? I mean, where do you use Meebo?
Where do I personally use it? I've used it a couple times when I've been out and about and haven't wanted to install like AIM on the computer that I was using at the time. It's
so
good if you're at someone else's
house. Because the idea is that I, as a blog publisher, would put it on my page.
Well, there is also a widget, I believe, that you can install on your website and people can see when you're chatting and you can chat with users on your website as well.
Isn't that their model? That was the whole idea of it?
I don't know if that's what their model was initially going to be. It might have been. I think I remember that they changed their model a little bit. When
it
first started.
I thought about it, and then I thought, well, why do I want just what I need to have people come to my website and bug me? I mean,
that's why I didn't install it either.
Leo doesn't even answer his email, so I mean,
I stopped answering email. I don't even give
out
my address anymore.
He's impossible to get a hold of him. Now, we go to the next one, which is wikia.com. Any comments on that? Just seems like another one of these.
No, it's Jimmy Wales. Here's the deal. Jimmy Wales started Wikipedia. He's always insisted on keeping it commercial free. Wikia is basically a way to monetize. It's a business that he created based on the Wiki platform. And actually, there's some very cool stuff. We did an interview with him a couple of weeks ago on Net at 9. It's
We'll give that one an okay.
Now, let me just say one thing.
I'm
the interesting
to move through these things.
I understand, but that's not our way, John. The interesting thing about it is that he has consistently refused. A number of people have said, "Why don't you allow advertising on Wikipedia?" You know, Jason Calacanis, the chief among these, said, "Hey, you could monetize. You wouldn't have to beg for money anymore. You could make millions on Wikipedia. Just put some banner ads on there."
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Should Wikipedia have ads?
I don't think Wikipedia should have ads.
I agree with you. Yeah, and Jimmy's very clear about that.
I'm happy that he has stood by that.
But he has to make money like anybody else, so he's got Wikia.
It's interesting. It's a very interesting idea. And it kind of reminds me a lot of like metro blogging even, but more, you know, you can do it yourself. If you're not one of the editors, you can just edit your own information about whatever city that you're in.
Really interesting. It's not just
cities. Did they start the San Francisco one yet? Because the first time I went there, there was nothing on there.
But I asked him what his favorite Wikia blog is. And I think it's one on the Muppets. It's a Muppet Wikipedia. Everything
nice.
Muppet.
Really?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, I think it's muppets.wikia.com, but I'm not sure. I'll have to find the link.
My best friend called me today and was like, can you explain to me what a wiki is? My boss just asked me, and I don't know what that is. And I was like, oh, man.
I think there's still room for companies. Like, Leo, we were talking about on MacBreak Weekly how we were having trouble getting this Ruby program set up to do the Tumblr we wanted to do. I think there's still room for people to come out there and make it easy for people who aren't comfortable going in and installing whatever Drupal. I think there's still a lot of room for people to have things like CMS systems or wikis, and to make it really easy to go out there and set this stuff up. And I mean, for small businesses and little groups of people trying to plan a reunion, I mean, I think stuff like that is, I think there's still going to be room for people to go out and make that stuff easy to set up.
I want the big Evite killer.
Oh, God. Upcoming.
Kill
it's
Evite.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Why do you say? What is upcoming not
is
do
there, is
Evite
there?
Does?
I do use upcoming. Is there a function where you can send out an invitation to a group of people?
No.
Like Evite? What?
You can, upcoming allows you to have private.
She wants to do a mailing list. Like
I got an answer for you.
Oh, there's the one that Niall Kennedy sent me one time.
I hate all of these because you have to. The fundamental premise of this is you give my email address to some site. I don't want you giving out my email address.
Oh, you know what difference does it make, Leo? You never answer email anyway.
That's why. You know how much email I get? I mean, spam I get on that address?
Get a, go where I go and get no spam.
Get no spam.
Here's one. Let me just tell you. Let me tell you a quick way of getting around the Evite thing. If you want to do mass invitations, you go to Open Table.
I love Open Table.
I don't know that one.
Open Table is for making
you make a reservation at a restaurant, then you write a long message, which is your invitation. You send it to all these different people, and then cancel the reservation. Meanwhile, they send out all these invites.
I got a theory on Evite.
John, you're so weird.
So no, Open Table's you go and you it's a reservation service, and he's hacking into an invitation.
There's this thing called an email client, and see what you do is you take all these people's addresses, you put it in the to field, you type your message, you press send. It's amazing.
Touche, Leo. Touche.
No, the 2.0 of that is the BCC field. I have a theory about Evite. I think it's about friends as trading cards. I think people love sending out these invitations with a bunch of names.
Because they like everyone to see who their friends are.
It's so tacky.
Yeah, especially I think people write back. They say, "Oh, I'll be there. I'm looking so forward to it."
Well, that's why that kind of I always say, "I hate you. I hate your party. Forget it."
And you never get invited.
I don't get many invites now. Juiced is number 6.
We already beat that one up. Let's move on.
Death. Dabble is the one that nobody understands what it does, but it's got a great... Hank Berry put some money into it.
I was going to say, Dabble must be really cool because they only got like $750,000.
Right. It's small.
So it must be the most amazing technology on this list, period. That's my theory now. The less money that's invested, the more obviously amazing it
must be. You're probably right. One founder, one CEO.
I don't get it.
It's a tool for organizing videos into playlists of favorites. Wow, we need that tool.
Okay.
Metacafe. Yeah, what do you think of
Metacafe? Wait. The Dabble logo, by the way, is loser.
I know. That's what I just... John?
No, the Dabble logo is holding up your fingers as if you're framing a shot like a director.
Oh, I got it. Okay,
but
next.
It's also loser.
Gee whiz.
Double loser. Metacafe.
Metacafe is pretty cool.
What is it?
It's basically a video site, right? It's like YouTube.
Yeah, okay, next.
Yeah, it's another
Revision
YouTube.
Revision 3. We've heard of these guys.
I just got to say something. Can I just say something?
Yeah, 25
startups to watch, right? They have 1.5 million monthly viewers. We've got 4 times that number. Okay, just said that.
You're not a startup.
Wanted to get that out of the way.
Viewers or downloads?
You're not a startup. You're not asking for.
You don't have 4.5 million
viewers. All the money for yourself. That's
a question. Are they talking about unique viewers or downloads? I almost guarantee you they're talking about downloads.
The last thing I saw on this was 1.5 million monthly, 1.5 million downloads.
They say viewers, but it couldn't be unique viewers.
I think that's a mistake on the part of the magazine, because other stuff I've seen for Revision 3 is 1.5 million downloads.
And that's what I'm saying. Right. We have 4 times that number of downloads.
Everybody loves you. So let's go to the next one.
I should be on this list. And if Violet Blue.
You haven't taken any venture capital, Leo.
Not a startup.
Worth paying attention to.
He's not a startup. He's been trying to start for years. Okay, Blip TV.
Blip TV is great.
Start down.
Okay, I love Blip TV.
I got to say something. What does Blip TV do? Because the only time I've dealt with them is when one of their founders tried to shove them. I was doing a rap on a shoot in New York with a bunch of people, and one of the founders shoved themselves into the camera shot so they could tell me how cool their company was.
I think they're really nice people, so maybe I'm biased.
Apparently this guy wasn't.
I think it's a great service. It's much more flexible than YouTube for somebody who actually wants to have a video podcast.
And they help monetize it too, don't they?
Do they have a monetizing model?
How's that different than Dave TV?
I don't know. But on YouTube, if you just kind of throw it up and you get like that one embed. I think what people may not know with Blip TV, when you put stuff up, you can basically put it up in kind of any format you want, and then spit out whatever size code you want for putting it on your site. It's much more flexible.
Yeah.
Do you use it?
I don't use it personally, no, but I know a lot of video podcasters that do and really enjoy the product.
Yeah, I think that this is what Callie uses on Geek Brief.
I have to check
it out. Yeah, and there is a model, though. I mean, I haven't used it yet. One thing that does seem kind of cool is you get to pick where you want your ad to go. Do you want it to go pre-roll, or was that what they say? Pre-roll?
Oh, Phone Guy's
pre-roll, post-roll.
Wait a minute, I'm watching Phone Guy on Blip TV.
Yeah, Phone Guy's on Blip TV.
Oh, I'm sitting here looking at the Blip TV site, and there you are, Merlin.
Oh, really? It's on the thing?
Yeah, it's on the front page. They're highlighting you.
You're a shill. You're paid to tell us this.
No, he's an A-list blogger.
We've been duped.
It's a farce.
I
got to
tell you, You have this napping application called Pizzizz. I don't know if you guys
use the code. You're number three. Click number three on the channels. You're the phone guy is number three on there. That's interesting.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
You know, it's interesting how many of these on this list are basically YouTube type sites. It's very interesting.
What's Fawn?
Fawn is really cool. Fawn is another cool one. It's Fawn. It's Spanish. They're a Spanish company. It's Spanish for La Fonera. Which is,
I have questions.
That's what it's taken
this
from.
Is one of those kind of interesting that I'm a little, I think it's a little sketch. The idea is they have a wireless router that you buy.
Oh, right. I know what
I don't think
is.
It's sketchy at all. I think it's a really great idea.
I'm in agreement with Leo on this one.
I've used it. It's kind of like, it's a neat idea, but getting the penetration they need to make it useful.
Well, you know what they did is they gave away a bunch of free Fawn routers.
That's because they had $22 million in venture funding.
Not bad. I mean, Google's funding them? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, having enjoyed the drop in rent prices after the first dot bomb, there's some of these companies where it's like you look at the amount of money they're getting, and it's a pretty amazing amount of seed capital, especially given the kind of turnaround on the investment that the VC companies want.
Well, here's Sorry, continue.
You know, everybody's going toward EVDO and that other crap that the phone companies
This is why it's a really great idea. If you have a Wi-Fi enabled phone and you're running Skype on your Wi-Fi phone and you're going around into a neighborhood that has a bunch of these phone routers set up, then you're basically getting your calls for free.
Not much longer. According to this, they're in deal talks with U.S. cellular service providers. So I guarantee you the first thing that they're going to stop is that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is not going to happen.
I mean, this is like people have tried this with, people have tried this with mesh networking. People have, open source mesh networking. It's basically, it's all
mesh.
Kind of a.
It's basically mesh.
Mesh. It's like you're going to sign up and then you're going to get this $30 router and register your node and share your broadband.
And incidentally
with
violate
other phone
your terms
people.
Of service.
I have a Fawn hotspot right at my house. I get full service with the hotspot.
Like
no, I've never used it before. I've never actually used it. I'm interested in trying it, but.
It violates your terms of service, at least with most service providers in the U.S. With this 200 gigabyte cap we're seeing with Comcast, you got to wonder how many people are going to be doing this kind of stuff.
Hey, see, I just, leave my router open and share it with the world.
Aren't you nice? Do you really? Do you really?
I do a share. I do leave a segment of my router open because, hey, I use open routers all over the country.
True.
Do you do like a captive portal or you just leave it open?
I basically do have a segmented section that's open because I've used people's open Wi-Fi routers all over the country because they're kind enough to share it with me.
So I think that's nice to
share
it back.
That is.
Well, I don't need to buy a $30 router to share my Wi-Fi with somebody. I guess is part of what I don't get about phone.
All right, I don't know this next one at all.
Looped, LOOPT. It's sounds like Twitter. It's around the clock friend tracking. Cell phone customers are using Loop to let their buddies see their locations.
Oh, so it's like dodgeball, kind of. Is it GPS?
Or,
what is it?
Or what's the other one that begins with a G or Geezer or whatever? There's a lot of these.
Yeah, it's pretty big. People who
stalker
Boost Mobile subscribers.
Okay. The Helio phones are doing that, too. Yeah. A couple of the Helio phones have GPS enabled, which is a little bit different.
Do you really want
I know a lot of people
have
turned off dodgeball. Yeah.
I don't use dodgeball at all anymore.
It's the same thing. Places, that kind of freaks me out.
I don't want people to know where I am.
Well, that's not true. I actually have used
email.
It recently.
Mobio. But mobile phone mashups and widgets that figure out where you are. It sounds like the last one.
Yeah, this is for stalkers, this stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
this one's the other way around. It knows where you are so that you can book a cab or get a seat at a restaurant.
How is it for stalkies?
Well, because you want to be stalked, right? You have to enable this in order to be stalked.
Stalk me, big boy.
Oh, but I mean, for a lot of people, that's like, where's the party? Where are people?
I may have actually
what everybody's
actually,
doing.
That's why Twitter's good. You can tell as much information as you want to tell.
Right. Twitter's plenty.
I like Twitter.
I may have had a meeting with these guys, and I was dubious about this. It's like, you can get a cab. You can get a reservation.
We're talking about mobile.
How about walking in and getting a reservation? Yeah. How about, hailing
Open
a
table,
cab?
John. Open table.
Well, I know. I'm saying if you're roaming around on the street and you want to get something to eat, there's restaurants. Go walk into one. See if the menus
are No. I'd much rather be on my phone and push a button. How about this one that's called Tiny in parentheses? I love the logo. I mean, just a little tiny logo.
I don't know. That's insulting, it seems to me.
it's not intended for you. It's not.
He thinks the pundit doth protest too much.
Not me. Tiny's radar service lets you snap photos with cell phones and send them to friends, again, who can both access and comment on the shots. It will be a built-in application on the new Sidekicks.
Mm. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Please. I don't really care.
That's got nothing.
Next.
You know what? What you're seeing a lot of these cell phone-based services, though, is there's a very clear revenue model. I mean, that's why you're seeing all these different
Now, here's one from Oklahoma coming up sooner.
Sooner. I'm a sooner.
Oh, come on. Vowels are your friends. Let's stop it with the E dropping here.
S-O-O-N-R.
An E without, you know
this also, was Flickr the guys who started this trend?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like the trend. Remember the trend in the late 90s where you always have a capital letter right in the middle of a logo of the word?
Yeah.
Intercap Q.
Merlin, didn't you tell me that Ev was going to make Twitter T-W-T-T-R?
I think initially the first one I saw was this really ghastly looking. It looked like a paramecium, a big greasy paramecium. It said Twitter in super, super roundy letters. And it looked like it was like bleeding.
You know, it's interesting. We've talked about Twitter a number of times. I don't get why Twitter is so popular, but it is. I love it. I use it. In fact, it's so successful, apparently, that Ev is planning to sell Obviously, focus on Twitter.
Sell Odeo. I'm
sorry.
Yeah, that's their company's one.
I'm sorry. Obviously wants to sell Odeo. And focus on Twitter, which is bizarre. You'd think Odeo had a much better business plan
Odeo's in competition with how many other podcasting operations, including, I might add, your very own.
We're on Odeo, and I supported Odeo, and we
they're in competition with Podshow, who's got like 20 million, 5 million sitting in the bank, and how many other systems for distributing podcasts?
They should be named Odious.
So we didn't even say what Sooner does.
Sooner, I just downloaded the install for Sooner. I'm so curious about it.
Really?
Yeah,
that was fast.
Allows you to use your phone to pull up and search data on your desktop. Everything from Word docs to Photoshop files.
I don't get it.
Get a smartphone. Moving on.
Well, why would I search my desktop with my phone?
Actually, I like the idea of,
I like snap judgments. Let's keep going.
Try it, John. Yeah, this is really easier. With 25, we've got to. But try it, Patrick, and let us know, okay?
Turn.com.
You guys don't care if it works. You've had your snap judgment. Move on.
I don't like that logo. They're never going to make any money.
Turn has an interesting logo. It's a little origami kind of a Escher.
Their blurb is very long.
It looks cheap.
It does look cheesy. But it is trademarked. It's one of the few that's trademarked on this list.
Oh, yeah. Heaven forbid.
Well, that's because it's started
It sounds a lot like AdSense without Google's gigantic distribution and market data.
Okay, next. Adify. Online marketplace for highly targeted ads.
Wait a minute. The same kind of blocky thing. What's up with
that? It's the same business model.
Oh.
AdMob offers a place to buy ads for delivery to cell phones. Wait a minute.
Are we in the ad section?
SpotRunner. SpotRunner definitely has the best logo.
Oh, doggy.
A little Dalmatian running.
Wait, which where are you?
We skipped ahead like three.
19.
What about AdMob? You missed another one.
No, I mentioned AdMob and then I moved on.
Okay. And then
SpotRunner's 30-second TV ads, though.
Yeah.
So is that the Amazon guy in there right there?
Oh, interesting. Local businesses can browse a library of pre-made spots and personalize them for airing in their local markets.
This isn't an internet play at all. I don't even know why they're mentioning this
because they sell them online. Yeah,
but it's for air on TV.
Wait, I'm having this great mental image of you can come down to, insert name of insert name of shop and buy insert like
I but in a different voice. welcome to Bob's Discount Furniture.
Bob's Discount Furniture is the best deals available in America on furniture because you can buy it today.
That's not so far-fetched.
Pittsburgh.
in radio for years that we had these pre-made ads for a variety of businesses and you just stick the person's name in it, but it's got the jingle. You'll find great refrigerators here and stuff like that.
Well, Leo, another thing that radio used, I think there's less of it than there used to be. They used to send out these discs of a pre-interview and you'd have some celebrity answering questions that you would read from a sheet of paper.
You bet.
And you run the whole thing, and then some clowns decided to change the format, or they started using, making up different questions. And it was like, that was the end of that.
I can just imagine. What fun. That would be really fun.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you remember the TV show that had that Batman and the White Ghost, whatever it was?
Space Ghost.
Space Ghost.
Yeah. It was basically interviews with the questions that had nothing to do with the answers. And it was
it goes back to the 50s. Remember those mashups? The early mashups. Where they would take, hey, Mr. Spaceman.
Are you talking about ad libs?
That would be another one. No, these were records. V2's platform lets corporate customers solicit, edit, and upload user-generated videos that promote their products. Well, that's what happened on the Super Bowl. Weren't the best ads on the Super Bowl ones that were created
Remember
by
what
users?
Happened when GM allowed people to make user-generated ads for them?
Yeah.
That did not turn out well.
It didn't?
That's okay. When you get a chance, dig through the SpotRunner site and look at the pre-made ads by industry. It's pretty funny.
Oh, really? Should we play some? Let's see.
No. Just on your own free time.
Oh, no. I want to personalize a TV ad. I want to try it. Here, let me play
move
one.
Move on to successfactors.com. This which, sounds like...
pizza. No, wait
worst
a minute.
Logo
wait a minute.
Ever.
No, wait a minute. I want
which one?
I want
Success Factors.
I'm playing SpotRunner ads.
I think it's kind of old-fashioned. I don't think it's the worst.
The show has left me behind, but I'm going to continue on.
Pizza. It sounds good. Pretty much all the time. Thankfully, there's a number you can call whenever that urge hits.
6-4-3-4
go for Spot. SpotRunner Pizza. The best place in town for
upload
delicious, piping hot pizza delivered right to your
upload
door.
Upload your second
fresh
image here.
Fresh ingredients, hand-tossed, made from
upload
scratch.
Upload your third girl. Image here.
There's a reason our pizza tastes so good.
Oh,
this is brilliant.
Stop by for a slice.
The only problem with this is it's going to kill off those awesome locally produced cable access, you know.
Those are the best.
Those local guys can't even figure out how to use this. Besides that, many of these local ones that you say is going to kill off, they like to get on TV. They think it's their break. But this is terrible. You see one of these, especially if you can just put two side by side for two different products, you're going to say, people aren't going to like it.
Well, thank goodness there's YouTube.
You
can see all the bad cable access ads you ever wanted to see on YouTube. Somebody uploaded, I saw a link to the worst ad ever. It was some insurance company with an eagle on the roof laying a giant egg. have you seen this?
I like it already.
It's an auto insurance ad. I'm going to play it because it's just the worst acted ad. Apparently people who lived in Chicago, this is a beloved ad because they played it so much and it's so bad.
What's that? Do you have insurance on this car?
No.
It must be Eagle Man.
There's an eagle sitting on the roof.
I can't see out the window. Give me something to wipe the window with.
Oh, wait a minute. This is a mashup. But basically, the Eagle Man is sitting on their car roof and lays an egg. Let's see if I can skip ahead to the actual Eagle Man. Here you go.
It must be Eagle Man.
So what's the...
I've got something for you. The lowest cost SR-22.
Now he lays a giant...
Oh!
Egg. Okay, that's enough.
Brother.
That was pretty bad.
It's the worst ad of all time. And it's, you know, SpotRunner could do some.
Man.
V-True, we did already.
Success Factors, Ron.
Success Factors.
Where's Success Factors?
These guys are doing 100, number 21.
John and I have already started talking about
Sorry.
It.
Sorry.
They're doing 100 million, doing some, I don't know.
They have 400 employees. They must be
selling
doing something
a suite
right.
of simple web-based tools that automate important but previously paper-driven management chores, performance reviews, succession planning, and compensation.
SAP Online.
Okay. Yeah, SAP. Jan Rain. Hi, my name's Jan, and I'm going to make it rain.
Oh, I kind of like that logo.
It's a single sign-on.
Hmm.
I like the fact that everybody went boring and started snoring at the one thing on this list that's making insane amounts of money.
I know. No, but isn't it always that way? It's the boring, you know, cement. That's where you make the money.
You make money in cement. Logoworks.com.
And barrels.
We didn't actually talk about what Jan Rain does. They've developed a single sign-on. Did you say that?
Yeah, but there's a lot
listening.
Of these. Have you noticed how many OpenID things? All of a sudden, OpenID is
does
everywhere.
Does that scare you? Like to give your passwords to a lot of people?
Yes.
I mean, to give your password to one centralized password
storing
site.
Well, the neat thing about OpenID
site.
Is you can go to, there's only a few sites now that support OpenID.
NSA is one of them.
NSA loves it. You go there and you give them your OpenID ID. In my case, it's I signed up for one with ClaimID, so it's claimid.com/Leo. Log in through ClaimID, and these people accept my credentials.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's such a bad thing.
Okay.
Let's go to LogoWorks. Does anybody but me think that maybe they'd sell more of their product if their logo
was better?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Decent, you know, they get this logo.
We design logos. Here's an example.
I don't even get it. It's like, is that a guitar? I mean, what is that little?
It's a palette. I think it's a palette.
You're right.
Yeah, it's a palette. Yeah.
Good eye.
But we really had to think about it, didn't we?
Well, you did. Yeah.
Their customers include Toyota and Pfizer.
Hmm. What does that mean? Somebody bought a copy.
ReardonCommerce.com, a web-based virtual personal assistant.
I changed my mind. This is my least favorite logo. compared to the other
wow.
one.
Wow, it doesn't
onward.
Even. Yeah,
it actually looks like the red line bicycle logo. From,
if you look at it from the side, it kind of looks like a horse.
But I would like a personal assistant, a web-based virtual
talk about
personal
what?
Assistant.
Virtual personal assistant.
Yeah. Reared commerce.
The R thing, if you look at it.
I would really like one of those. So
yeah, you need one.
I do
well,
need
one. Well, reardcommerce.com, Leo.
Simulscribe, an effective way to convert voicemail into scannable text. Okay, thank you. Bye. That's it for the 25 top startups. Okay. Did you see that Fuzzy Zeller is mad because somebody put a defamatory paragraph in his Wikipedia article? And now... And now he's suing.
Well, the best part was that he tried to do it as a John Doe. Like anyone else would care that his Wikipedia entry had been
right. He's got well because he has to go to the ISP or to Wikipedia. And so, who did it? Who? It's like apparently it came out of some office, right?
A law firm in like Florida?
Yeah, Miami. It's an education consulting firm. And it's basically the equivalent of going to the office saying, "I am not leaving until you tell me who did it."
That's pretty funny.
Fuzzy. That's a good voice.
Yeah, that's my Fuzzy Zeller imitation. Very
well, you know,
useful.
When you draw attention to yourself as something that's stupid, it seems to me that you're going to get, you know, some one or two hackers out there that just look like to make people's lives miserable who react like that.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble.
I agree. I don't, you know, if somebody defames me in my Wikipedia, I embrace it. PureTrax says we're going to do copy protection free MP3s. Of any artists that allow us to, all the independent artists, including the Bare Naked Ladies and Sarah McLachlan. It's a Pure Tracks
in Canada.
Is a Canadian Napster or Rhapsody.
Yeah, it's not going to be here. It's only, no. Everything here is still Windows.
Yeah, but this is the beginning. This is, somebody took Steve up on his, I know Steve still isn't doing it.
Well, I don't think they're the only people taking him up on it. I mean,
EMI was talking about it,
but now if they get bought by Warner, that's right. All out the window. But I think it might happen. I just wish it would happen here and not
Could it
Canada.
Be the crack in the wall, the beginning of the end of DRM?
I like to think so.
I hope so.
I like to think the fact that the Blu-ray and HD DVD being compromised in less than a year is going to be the great crack in the wall of DRM.
Well, except for Ohio University, Purdue, and the University of Nebraska.
What they were the colleges that had the most
the
piracy.
Most piracy. The top 20, according to the RIAA, the top 25 music pirating schools in the country.
Good times.
Is there a list on here somewhere?
Yeah, there is. Ohio, Purdue, University of Nebraska.
It's all
Lincoln.
Giant Midwestern colleges.
It is.
And universities, it yeah. seems. There's nothing really in California.
You know what that list really tells you?
What?
Those guys can't cover their tracks as well as the smart boys in the
West. No, you know what I think it is? I think it's just there's way more people at those schools.
Oh, yeah, like, there's like a quarter of a million students or something.
Yeah. Well, BU's on there. BU's on there, too.
That's a big school. Did you go to BU?
No, I went to Emerson.
That's a small school.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Ralph Waldo.
I'm telling you. They just don't know what they're doing. That's the problem.
These are actually how many... actually, you make it on the list by being the most sued.
it's number of suits.
Suits that we've sent.
Man,
out.
I'm so glad they weren't doing that when I was in college. Suing people.
Did you pirate saw?
I had Napster at the time. Yeah, I stopped using it though.
Oh my god, you're young.
You should have gotten into media early and get stuff for free.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So let's wrap this up with talking urinal cakes because, well, woo-hoo. Frankly, we can.
Finally.
I've been waiting and waiting for the talking urinal cake.
So it turns out, another list, New Mexico's at the top of, they have more DUIs than any of the other state in the union. The state recently paid $21 each for 500 talking urinal deodorizer cakes. They've put them in men's room and bars across the...
You know what's a missing opportunity here these guys should be thinking in terms of? Is creating monetizing these in such a way that over the internet you can put the message on the urinal cake for $1 a piece, and so you can like say something to these guys.
Hey, help me! I'm down here. Help me out of here! Help me out of here!
Well, that's like remember when they in the urinals they used to say just say no to drugs.
Yes,
Mm-hmm. I have very little education on the state of urinal cakes.
No, you wouldn't know much about
unfortunately.
It. Unfortunately. But well, we would like you to read the announcement.
They had the little spinners on them. What? You could try to, hit the part.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to eat a cake from a urinal anyway?
Not eat it. You know
not
perfectly.
Eat the urinal. The giant mint in the urinal. I've seen that poster.
Bring cowboy hats. So, which was one of my favorite graffitos of all time. So, when you step up, the theory is if you're drunk, the last thing you do before you get in the car is you visit the men's room.
So yeah, but if you're really drunk, you're peeing outside. Come on.
Nobody, yeah, or on yourself.
Apparently. That's what the bench seats are for. So the guy steps up to the urinal. It's motion sensitive, and it says...
Of course it is.
First in a woman's voice that's flirty.
All right. Hey, big guy. Having a few drinks? Think you had one too many?
Now
it is time to call a cab or call a sober friend for a ride home. And then it ends with, remember, your future is in your hand.
That's my favorite.
What?
All right, I'm the designated
driver. Couldn't they at least have said hands instead of hand?
Hand, right.
Is that,
there.
That's a joke, right?
That's the joke.
Man. I just imagine some guy stumbling back out to the table and going, dude, my pee just talked to me.
You got to get in the car and drive home now.
You just made me clap in glee.
This is not cool.
So if you're getting all excited about the Oscars tonight and you want to see the movies before the vote, download them from Pirate Bay, the very special Oscar torrent site they've set up just for you. God, these guys, they love
it. With some of the most swaggering remarks I think I've ever seen.
I love how much bravado they have with everything they do.
It's like there's a point in it. I haven't... it's so all over the map with their little
let's buy an island.
Yeah, that's over, right? They gave
yeah,
up.
They
but I mean like reading that last paragraph, Leo. Okay, maybe you should read that in the Bill Gates voice. I don't know.
Okay, you want me to?
You haven't beaten us?
Actually, you know what? The Oscar torrent site totally fits into John's definition of an insane person's website.
It's incredible.
Tech, big red banners. All they need is some flashing GIFs.
That's pretty funny. That's really funny.
This is
funny.
Awesome.
It's,
like
it's taking a second to load. Oh, it's not center. That bad. It's not that bad.
What's the URL? Oscar torrent.
Well, it's like, it's it just cracks me up.
You haven't beaten us, so why not join us? Actually, you should really be a pirate. Think of a new business model that doesn't involve overpriced pieces of plastic and skanky cinemas. Hocking cheap carbohydrates while relying on a $6 per hour projectionist who can't keep a film in focus.
It sounds more like somebody's really cranky grandpa.
Not to mention insulting your audience by, to pick a few examples, surveilling us with night vision glasses, searching bags, 30 minutes of commercials, and bombarding us with ridiculous anti-piracy propaganda. Wow.
You should be in L.A., Leo, doing those voices.
Oh, yeah, I could make
He actually does some great voices, I have to say.
Yeah, one of these days I'll do one of them.
Nobody appreciates them but me. German guy again, Leo.
Bill Gates says, Windows Vista has had an incredible reception.
German Bill Gaines?
Yeah, I don't know.
I like it.
So, I had a little bit of Sid Caesar to it. That was nice.
The funny thing about this incredible reception is it could be anything. Mm-hmm. It could be good.
And they had that big party in New York.
It could be bad. It's just incredible. Oh, no. He goes on to say, people who sell PCs have seen, and this is kind of a weasel word, too, a very nice lift in their sales.
Of course they have. People have been waiting to buy a new PC for Vista to ship for like 9.5 months.
But didn't Ballmer say the exact opposite, like the week before?
He was
of
trying to.
Of course Ballmer did, because Ballmer's always trying to. Ballmer's the one who's got his head on the plate with Wall Street.
That's
and
exactly
he's also
right.
trying to terminally fill every salesperson at Microsoft with fear. That's his job.
Yeah, it's a different audience. Ballmer was trying to lower expectations on Wall Street. Bill Gates is trying to get Reuters to say Windows is selling great. Asked by Reuters if there was anything that would make Microsoft cautious about the outlook for Vista, Gates replied, I don't know what you mean. Vista's had an incredible
inconceivable.
Reception. It's inconceivable. The reviews have been fantastic.
I do not think it means what you think it means.
It means what you think it means.
That's my favorite
My
movie.
Name is Nico Mattea, and this is a big, big advance in the Windows platform. It's the world's most used piece of software. Overall, the reliability feedback has been, well, better than we expected. Oh,
aww,
a little weasel word there from Bill.
Okay.
Anybody want to say anything about XM and Sirius trying to tie in the knot?
I'm psyched.
Actually, no, I want to know how Kevin Reynolds can, like, pretty much let Clear Channel own every radio station in North America, or at least half of them, but is upset with the two competing satellite, the two foundering satellite radio.
Will they get regulatory approval?
I absolutely think that terrestrial radio and streaming online and iPods podcasts. And podcasts and all of that, I think that's perfectly legitimate. You know, going up against satellite radio between the two of them.
Which one do you have?
I don't have either. That's the thing. I've never been able to choose because I couldn't tell the difference. I didn't know which was better.
You know, there's another thing that people just seem to overlook about this. These guys should get together because I don't think they can. I think they can barely
they're
compete.
Die.
No, they're not profitable right now.
Yeah,
money.
It's not like they're.
But what's going to kill them is this. You know, the things that are going to. There's two things that are out there that are going to kill these guys off. One is HD radio.
No way.
It's just another nail in the coffin because it does give
no. It's not, John. It's not even a. It's not even.
And
a good
the real problem is going to be as soon as they start putting TiVo-like devices in regular cars.
They won't. The RIA will never let them. Remember,
no, you know, I'm telling you.
Remember, XM tried this.
They wouldn't even let Sirius and XM have players that could record MP3s
exactly
over
right.
the air. So that's not going to happen.
If you remember a few years ago, there was this big deal where you couldn't stream radio over the internet because of the advertising that was embedded and all the rest of it, and that was a big deal, and that was going to kill internet, you know, this kind of thing. And next thing you know, they put that change. I'm telling you, eventually we're going to have TiVos on radios in cars. It
yeah, and you know
happen.
What, John? Compared to
it's
the incredible adoption rate of HD radio, yeah, the TiVo and radios on cars, boy, what's the market penetration?
No,
of not
all right,
the FM.
All right.
You subscribe to Buzz Out Loud.
I'm just telling you.
The whole point of having satellite radio is so I don't have to listen to the crappy local radio stations. There's one radio station that doesn't make me want to hurl half the time in San Francisco. Why would I want to spend $200 to $400 to upgrade my car stereo so I could listen to one station, you know, in beautiful digital FM clarity?
Hey, I'm sorry, HD radio is going nowhere. It's going nowhere
HD
fast.
HD radio, so I've never heard it, so I could be wrong. But
it's fabulous if you have a radio station that you like locally.
I guess,
I could listen to the classical radio station.
That's what I know,
and I could listen to the sort of midnight to 4 a.m.
Does it sound that much better?
It does. It's
you know, it's their competition, so use both. You know, have your terrestrial radio and then have your XM Sirius. At the same time, why you don't have to pick if they allow it to go through.
I'm just glad I don't have to choose between Oprah and Howard Stern.
There you go. It's
anymore.
A happy world.
The problem I have
happy, happy world.
I don't want to spend $13 a month to listen to the radio and I'm not
that's
in my car all day.
With you know what? Well, no, that's not a problem. $10 for a movie, for a potentially crappy 90-minute movie is a problem. $13 a month for like 125 radio stations.
But there's so much good music on your iPod already. There's so many podcasts you can listen to, books on tape. I don't know.
But you know what? The thing with me is I want to have XM and Sirius because I want to be able to discover new music. And I know there's podcasts out there that do that, but that was the main reason I used to listen to radio. And now I don't really listen to radio anymore, but I feel like I'm stuck in this trend of listening to the same podcast all the time.
I'm just not
finding a really good solution for discovering music that's on the air right now.
Here's the funny thing for me is like every time we rent a car and we get, you know, whatever a model that's got, I think it's XM. I mean, I always really enjoy it and I flip around.
Me
and,
too.
You know, you get used to the fact that there's that really janky satellite delay every time you change the station.
Yeah.
But even still, so then flash forward. They added a bunch of XM stations to our DirecTV. Okay. And the package we have has like an embarrassment of XM stations. And so I think, oh, this is great. I'm going to be listening to this all the time. And, you know, the fact is I don't. I mean, it's there, and I don't know what the difference is. Maybe it's just that it's not as easy to get to as having it on in the car. But it doesn't do it for me in the same way as
I think it's really best for cars because I don't have a car right now. So
because the Dish Network has had Sirius on the Dish forever. And I rarely listen to it.
No. You know what we use it for? We use it for Christmas music.
Cars and portable
every
players.
Christmas. Yeah, every Christmas they put on a bunch of stations that play Christmas. Or you can go to that one station that always plays the Pixies. You know, there's like a few stations that, you know, you can dig. But I don't know. I think the other thing that's key is having some ease of having one of those units that plays in your car.
Well, like the Pioneer Inno, like something like that you can take with you on the go. And
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Kind of like kind of like an iPod, but then you can plug it into a car adapter and then it's your car player.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to recuse myself since I am the actually do a radio show on a premiere.
Bias. You know what?
And I am, in fact, I think going to have a radio show on XM. But anyway, we're not going to just, I'll just say, I think
you're
it's
not going to trash it. So you basically sold out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So no, I think the merger is a great thing. I think it's the only thing that's going to save satellite radio. I don't.
Yeah, it's like two poor people moving in together. Yeah.
So many of the people in the industry
into the same box, into the same cardboard
box. We're
going to
share a cardboard box.
You know, I have to say it's really interesting because so many people I know, and especially on Buzz Out Loud, we're usually very anti big merger type of situation and monopoly and that kind of thing. Right. And this time, everyone's really positive about it. And all the people that I've talked to a lot in the industry have been saying that they're pleased and they hope it goes through.
I think they realize it's the only thing that can save them.
Mm-hmm.
It has to happen. And I'm hoping regulators feel the same way. I think they will. You know, Congress is going to weigh on it.
50-50 chance, I guess.
Couldn't they just do the whole satellite phone thing where they declare Chapter 11, absolve themselves of all their debts, start over again?
Basically, it
would be better for consumers if they merged.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm just being a wise ass. Oh.
So I think another big threat is AM stereo.
it's back, baby. First I'm in the left channel, then I'm in the right channel. Left channel, right channel. It's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, you can catch AM Buzz Out Loud and glorious monaural sound at bol.cnet.com, and that's where Veronica Belmont is. She actually, didn't you start on that show as kind of the engineer practically?
Yeah, I started at CNET as an audio production producer.
Isn't that great?
And then I was doing the producing on Buzz Out Loud, and then I just started chirping
I'm
in
glad
a lot,
you did,
talking, opening my big mouth.
You, Tom, and Molly really make a great show every single day.
Thank you.
bol.cnet.com, and I'm so glad you could be on the show. I hope you'll come back.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah. From DL.TV, it's Patrick Norton. We're so glad to have you. In fact, we're trying to get you to come up for a kind of mini reunion on Call for Help when we start the new version of Call for Help, the lab.
Well, I'll make a deal with you, Leo.
What's that?
If you honor my request that I've been making for 18 months to come do a guest segment on DLTV, I'll fly up Vancouver on my own dollar per your request. Come do the show.
It is his own dollar because I was informed we don't have any money. So
until you come to DLT, because I'm tired of answering that email. When's Leo going to be on DLT?
That's exactly why I don't do it. I like to tease.
You tease. Well, quit. You want me to fly my ass up to Vancouver? Get your ass down. Take the 45-minute drive down from Petaluma.
This will warm the cockles of your heart. Cat Schwartz is coming.
Oh,
funny.
Yeah, and I think Chris Perillo. And I'm hoping we get Becky, and I'm trying to find Silicon Alley. If Alley, if you're listening, give us a holler to my super secret email address, because it'd be fun to have Kevin and everybody just kind of have everybody.
This is all going to be on one show,
on one big show.
I'm fascinated and terrified.
What
if someone
blows
up the building?
Maybe it won't be on one show. John C. Dvorak is at home at dvorak.org/blog, and of course in PC Magazine, both online and in print. Glad you could be here. As always, John, it's your show. We just live in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, by the way, anyone goes to the dvorak.org/blog and types in twit into the search engine, and some of these websites that we talked about will be on there.
Oh, that's a nice way to do it. Thank you. Because it takes us a little while. It takes me a little while to get the show notes up there.
It's not just a pod show. It's an opportunity to drive traffic to the man's blog.
Exactly.
I send them to the site that actually put together the list and did such a great job documenting them. When you can get these short, snappy comments from John C. Dvorak at Dvorak.org.
/blog.
Who needs that top 25 web thing? We could do it ourselves. Our own commercials. Merlin Mann is... not only a great contributor to 43 Folders and Mac Break Weekly, but he's now got the Merlin Show. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a catcher's mitt with a wig and his own online video show starting Monday, if all goes well. Right, Merlin?
Oh, are you kidding me? It's in the can.
It's in the can?
It's pretty much done. Yeah, it's in good shape. You know what we're doing?
We haven't shot it yet.
We haven't started shooting.
He's been shooting a lot of stuff. He's got a ton of stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, it starts on Monday, and we're hoping to get a few things up next week.
Cool.
If we get one up on Monday, that'll be the first big success.
It's the Merlin Show on MerlinShow.com.
And you can go. I will pimp something on your show actively for the first time. If you want to go, you can subscribe via iTunes. If you go to themerlinshow.com.
Excellent. We want to get it to be number one on the charts there. And, of course, you can catch Veronica and me and Merlin on Twitter.
Yes, all the time.
Pretty much all the time, yeah. Thanks, everybody. Another twit. Not a Twitter. Another twit. Is it? Tech.
Walking urinal cakes warn against drunk driving. My
friends, and I would like
have you liver damage.
Did you do that one on Buzz Out Loud?
No, we didn't.
I see, good. I was looking for. You've done pretty much every story. What the hell was that?
That was weird.
Sorry, I had a very heavy lunch.
John C. Dvorak. Kevin Rose. Patrick Norton. David Prager. Robert Heron. I got the Twit Army behind me. Microsoft poo-pooed it. Denied it, said no problem. The Twit Army system. You're dead. It's a fool's paradise.
This is amazing.